God, man's sake. What do you think of that?
I think that's totally gay.
Type in monkey dick in the Yahoo podcast search, and we come up number one. That's right.
Here's what I'm going to say in retort, in rebuttal.
Yeah, your ass called, and he says, stop sticking cocks in a
sword. A sword fight.
Sword?
Yeah, I had like a fluid-filled pus ball.
Am I keeping you up? Sorry.
No, I was...
Shut up.
Well, and I couldn't agree with more with Dr.
Tooth Fairy John, Santa Claus, Easter Bunny.
Do you even pay attention to your own crap?
I listen to my own crap.
Don't listen.
I do listen.
You're not.
You just yap, and you don't even listen to it.
I do.
I listen.
So if you're ever looking for our podcast, type in Monkey Dick.
You're listening to Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott.
AKC's Total Talk Nonsense with John and Scott. I'm John.
And I'm Scott.
And this is episode 54, part 2 of a 3-part episode.
Part 2, John. And we're going to crank it up a notch because we were fucking zombies in that first part, John.
Don't you? Now you got me hating this thing. Too.
Zombies.
You got me hating the intro.
How did I get you hating?
Well, not the part with you laughing, because here's the thing. When I went through all the stuff that we do, mm-hmm. and... My jokes are like two words, and you laugh. Mm-hmm. Yours are this long as diatribe. So I got to just find the nuggets that are, you know, because you get so upset when I interrupt you. So I'm, you know, oftentimes I'm hitting the mute button when I'm laughing out loud just to not interrupt you.
I see.
Yeah.
You're looking for the nuggets.
Yeah, the nuggets.
The nuts. That reminds me, John, I jumped
into... Tooth Fairy John! Easter Bunny!
Over the weekend, I jumped into 66 degree water. And
oh, that must have shriveled your shit up.
Your balls just really, they just recess right up to the back of your throat. And it just takes your breath away, because they pass your lungs on the way to the back of your throat, and you end up yelping like a little girl.
All right. Well,
I wish I knew how to quit you.
I sure do, John.
You know, I can't find the "Wish I Knew How to Quit You," the one without the music in the background.
There is one.
Why? Was there music?
Yeah, there's always been music.
No.
Yeah.
From what I can remember.
Oh, I've heard dialogue, the same thing, but there was no music.
You're mixing that up with me whispering that in your ear.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I know. Now I'm starting to... I'm your wife now or something.
Yeah, you're like my...
For the attention you don't get at home. Now
my
it's
work
like,
wife.
Can you get me some a beer while you're up?
You were already up, so I just asked if you could give me one. I got you the first one.
You got me the first one ever.
It's reciprocal.
Ever. You got me the first one ever. The whole year we've been doing this.
Well... Maybe I'm becoming the bitch in the relationship. Hey, did you ever think of that?
Can I get you something?
Yeah, get me one of my own beers, you fucker.
Because we record in your studio.
That's right.
Now, John, it's much more comfortable here, too.
Is it?
Yeah, can you imagine if we were over at the other one?
It's 97
degrees.
It'd
be like 100 degrees in there.
Yeah, it's going to be hot. I think that's why nobody wanted to practice today.
Right.
Because Rick says, I said, hey, man, I just talked to Scott today, and we are practicing, right? Because he got me a little concerned. And yeah, we are. We talked about it Thursday, remember? I said, yeah, I'm just, you know, making sure it's cool. I'll call him back. And he goes, well, you know, yeah, it's cool if you don't want to. I said, well... No, it's fine. I'm a block away, you know. If you got something going on, I could hear people, hey, fucker, get off of that. Give me another shot, you know. And he says, yeah, you know what? Maybe we should just blow it off. I'm really tired. I'm exhausted. I said, okay. I'll call Scott back and tell him. Mm. So
we're here.
Yeah. But we're not really prepared. It's kind of it's like being caught back on your heels. The fly ball is going over your head, and you're running back to catch it because you ran forward, and you know,
yeah, whatever.
It's a little over your head. Or when you're leaning back on a chair and it's about to go over, and you go and catch yourself. That's kind of how I feel.
What? I'm ready. I'm ready. It's just that we're both exhausted, John. Exhausted.
Exhausted.
From this long weekend.
And I waited yesterday for you to call me to tell me, because you said to me yesterday, hey, man, or you said earlier in the week, yeah, we're podcasting on Sundays, you know, right? I said, yeah. And then you call me Saturday. Yeah, we're going up to Eagle River. I said, okay. So we're not podcasting, right? Well, you know what? We could. I could Skype in.
I might be able to Skype in.
Might be able to Skype in.
On a 56K. Right?
I go, come on. One of your cousins doesn't have a laptop or something with Wi-Fi. You know, like you're the only one in the world that doesn't have a laptop with Wi-Fi.
Right. That's me. I'm the only
That's
one.
That's you. Except for my parents. But so I waited around, and the wife says to me, well, are you guys doing it or what? And I said, I don't know. You know, I'm thinking he's going to call. I figured he would call or something. So I try calling you, no answer. And the thing about it is, it doesn't tell you that your phone is out of reach. It just, you know, goes right to your voicemail.
Right.
Which is kind of stupid.
Yeah.
But so I wait around, and the wife says, well, we're going to, you know, my nephew's birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I don't know. I can't. I got to wait for Scott. You know, what if he calls? What if, you know, we got to do it. I don't want to. Then we don't do one this week. Okay. Well, we're leaving. Okay. Because I didn't want to go anyway. But anyway.
So there, I got you out of it.
No, you didn't. I would have figured out something.
Oh, but I was a easy excuse.
But I waited for you and waited and waited. So I decided to cut the grass, and still no call.
You just don't know how to quit me, do you, John?
No, I don't. I was all by myself all night. Nobody to play with.
Well, I apologize. Nowhere for to that. Go. I was up in the Great North Woods, and...
how was that?
It was okay. I brought the kids up. I left the wife at home because she had something going on at work. So it was just the kids and me. And we had a good time. Went swimming. And my daughter got to go on a motorcycle. And
Wait
she got
a minute.
To drive a boat.
Your wife had something going on at work during the holiday weekend? Who the fuck stays behind?
Well, if you work for my wife, you do.
Oh.
So she had this conversion going on or something, some data feed into some other system, and the person who was supposed to get it done I guess didn't get it done, so the wife was the backup. So well, that's what she told me. I don't know, who knows,
right?
But she got a lot of stuff done while we were away. Yes, a lot of work the wife did. Very proud of her.
Okay.
Oh, so then we come back. It's a 6-hour drive. Actually, it's not six. I say it's six, but it takes me 4.5 hours because I break the law. So we get back, and Emma, my daughter, every time she gets bitten by a mosquito, the mosquito bite lasts like 2 weeks. She has really bad reactions to mosquito bites. And something bit her on the arm. And she can't even move her arm anymore, and her whole arm is almost infected.
Ow.
So I had to take her to the ER today, and that took about 4 hours.
Oh.
But they pumped her full of antibiotics, and then I had to go get a prescription. Then I got to take her back in tomorrow to see her doctor to make sure that it's not spreading.
What did she get bit by?
We assumed it was a spider bite because mosquito bites are bad, but they're never like this.
Yeah.
And she was bitten by a spider once before, and the effects of it lasted about 8 months.
Oh, man.
So we just assumed it was a spider bite, but the doctor said, we can't make those assumptions. We are going to just treat this as a bug bite with
a infection.
Right.
So that's what they're doing.
What if it's a brown recluse?
Yeah, brown recluse, she would have more paralysis, I think.
At first?
There's swelling, and the swelling is causing the paralysis she has right now.
Oh.
So hopefully tomorrow it'll start clearing up.
Ouch.
And now, you know, the wife never wants to have her go outside anymore.
Yeah.
Which, that's no fun.
No.
So.
Just douse her with some DEET.
But I'm sure she'll be all right. Sorry for bringing everybody down.
Well, I'm sure she'll be fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, modern technology and all that. And plus, it's going to build up her immunity, I guess, to those bugs.
I don't know. They were talking about it tonight, and Emma has a cousin on the other side of the family that still, to this day, in her 30s, gets a mosquito bite, and she has to take, like, 2 days off of work.
Wow.
So, super sensitive like that. That's how my daughter is.
Yeah, but advances in medicine, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's quicker. So, yes. Like, you okay?
Yeah, hold on.
You didn't get bit by anything, did you?
And I still have this cough, which is annoying. It's aggravating.
So what happened with your sleep study, man?
Oh, the sleep study. Yeah, I go in and...
You never told the story about how we ended up... Did you tell that story?
Nah, I can't tell that story.
Oh, that's right. You can't tell that story.
It's really a good story, but
good
I can't
story.
Tell it. Because it involves some very valuable information, John.
Like anybody cares now. They know where we are.
So I, well, not the NSA, John.
Oh,
that's
they
the
know.
Important one.
They know, man. I'll tell you. They know, brother.
It's really nothing to tell. It's kind of boring, but my wife thinks I have apnea. That's when you fall asleep, you start snoring, and your tongue collapses in your windpipe, and you stop breathing. And then you wake yourself up, but not enough to be awake, and it disturbs your sleeping pattern, so you're always exhausted, which I am always exhausted.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I was talking to the wife the other day, and it finally occurred to me who you are. You are Bill Murray in stripes.
Bill Murray in stripes?
Yeah.
And why is that?
That slouch look, you know, and when they're running and stuff, and Sergeant Hulka is giving them shit. Why are you always last? It's you, man. You want to take a poke at me?
Well, yeah, normally I'm dragging, and today I'm really dragging.
Even Rick made a mention of that the other night before practice. Because we're like, well, where's Scott? I don't know. And he looks out the door and gets his guitar, comes back in, and he goes, I just spotted him. And then he shows me how you walk. It's like that picture of the Bigfoot, the footage from the 60s, you know, the shaky, slow arms dragging on the ground.
Kind of moping along. Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I know what you're saying. So I go in and they make me watch a video and they tell me everything that's going to happen in the sleep study. They're going to let me sleep for 3 hours. Then the woman's going to wake me up and tell me to turn on my side to see if that has any benefits.
Oh.
Then, if I do have any signs of apnea, they're going to run in and stick a CPAP on my face and let me sleep the last 4 hours.
Nice.
So I get in there, and it takes 45 minutes to hook all this shit up to my head, and I got to wear 2 waistbands for breathing, shit on my chest, and all these wires
Somebody
everywhere.
Somebody shit on your chest?
Yeah, I got shit on my chest, and you think you got a lot of wires in there with the mixing board?
Yeah.
Times that by 10. And that's what's coming out of my head.
Yeah.
And I'm supposed to sleep with this stuff. Plus, there's a camera, so they're always looking at me. So the first thing I do is, right when she walks out of the room, before I know she's looking at the camera, I fix the old hairy beanbag, you know?
Nice!
I get that into position, so I'm not going to be reaching down there and grabbing that all night.
I love you.
So then I fall asleep, but it's the worst night of sleep I've ever had. I'm so restless for whatever reason. I'm waking up all the time.
Hard fucking?
So then I hear on the intercom, roll over, sleep on your side. Which I can. I told her beforehand, I cannot sleep on my side. It's impossible. So I gave it a try anyway. So 30 minutes later, I said to myself, fuck this. And I went back on my back and I fell asleep and she woke me up again. And I thought it was to be to put the CPAP on.
Yeah.
But she said, it's 6 a.m. You can go.
Oh.
So I'm like, wait a minute.
I've not done sleeping.
You didn't put the CPAP on. Does that mean I don't have apnea? And she said, well, I can't tell you that, you know, because she's just the technician. So the results will be sent to Dr. Desir, and Dr. Desir will tell me about it. But I'm pretty sure I do not have apnea, because if I had any signs of apnea, they would have run in there and stuck a CPAP on my face, which they did not do.
Maybe they put a cock in your nose, and that helped you. And that helped you out.
So then it's another 45 minutes to get all this shit off of me.
Juiced it up.
And then I got to fill out a questionnaire, right?
Yeah.
So some of the questions are, was your night of sleep restless, B, restful, C, very sound, you know, bullshit like that.
Yeah.
And then the interesting question was, did you have any dreams and do you remember them? And I did remember some of my dreams. And one of them, I was in a wiffle ball game indoors.
A wiffle ball game?
Yeah, I hit a home run.
Nice.
And it was at a bar. It was like a bar tournament indoors. And right after the wiffle ball game, I came over and I was in like the dugout. But the dugout was like a bar where you just roll up on the bar and grab your alcohol. And because I hit a home run, I got a blowjob while I was up at the bar. But I didn't put that in. I edited that out, John. I didn't put that in my dream. Oh. I just said, yeah, I played wiffle ball. I hit a home run, and then I popped out the second time. Then the other dream I had, I couldn't even write down. I couldn't write it down because it involved a representative of the state.
A sphincter says
and it
what?
Involved a plot. And it involved maps and
maps.
Rifles
no.
and things like that. And I said, no way am I writing that down.
Question.
Because the government listens to our phone calls, John.
And that's the truth.
And who knows what they do with our medical records.
Right.
There's no rules.
You know? So right. I write this crap down, and they're going to be knocking on my door, and that'll be that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Because I had a dream during the sleep study.
Right.
This is recycled
stuff.
Stuff. It's
yeah. So that
you know, at one time when Colin Powell was in office, we were being run by a colon, a dick, and a bush.
Right.
Did I tell that joke before?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Can I ask you a question?
All right, John. We can turn to celebrity news.
Are you a virgin?
Now, you said that you saw X-Men 3.
I did, yeah.
And you want to talk about it?
Well,
or just,
okay, this is basically Saturday night, the wife once again. I told you I was had the women's auxiliary thing tonight. They have this thing every year now. She's part of this group of 25 broads.
Once a year?
Yeah, they go to... Vegas, but they got to plan it the whole fucking year. Now, you, me, and a couple of guys going to Amsterdam or something like that.
Right.
We'd do it in a week.
In a week.
Sit in front of my computer with some beers and boom, we're done. They got to have these meetings and dinner and get fucked up. And usually it works out as, oh yeah, we're just going over there, have some dinner, and then, you know, I'll see you later. Well, dinner turns out to be 1:30 in the morning.
Hmm.
She leaves at 6, comes back at 1:30, all fucked up. So, I guess I forgot she was having this thing, so that's cool. But we went golfing that day, Saturday, and it was pretty hot. I did pretty well. Met up with Joe, our first guest. And I came home and I was tired and I wanted to go to sleep. Well, because Joe is living in St. Chuck, he happened to be in town because his mom lives a block from me. And he decides to come over. And I'm thinking, oh, fuck, I just wanted to take a nap. And I couldn't. So he said he'd be only over for an hour. Well, he's over for like 3 hours. And then he hooks up with his wife and stuff. And then my kids go over there. And long story short, we finally hook up to go see a movie because the kids wanted to see X-Men 3. And I said, okay, well, the Pickwick Theater, which is in Park Ridge.
Yes, of course.
Have you ever been in the Pickwick 1?
The Pickwick 1? No, I don't think I've ever been in that one, no.
It's a 1,500-seat theater.
Wow.
It's old and gigantic, and it's unbelievable. It's pretty cool. So we get to the 9:15, and we go see it. And it's pretty good, but Joe is sleeping through most of the movie. And he's got this loud whistle in his nose. You ever hear people like that?
He was doing that when he was on the podcast.
Was he?
Yeah, he warned me about that.
The nose whistle?
Yeah, he said, I think he's going to do the nose whistle. Well, wait a minute, he's sleeping. So when he came over and you wanted to take a nap, why didn't you say, hey, you want to take a nap together? And then you... Not together, but, you know, right. I'm going to go take a nap up here. You take a nap down there.
Well, this is the thing. I'm thinking he's at his mom's house where he used to live, you know. I'm thinking, shit, if I got an opportunity where my wife has all the kids at home and I have a freaking couch I can lay on and sleep on, I'm taking it, you know. And he didn't take that opportunity. He decided to come over by me.
That is goddamn brilliant, John. We need to come up with an excuse for me to come over here once a week.
what do you mean?
For like 2 hours, and then we could just take naps together.
Oh, fuck. Do you sleep on your stomach?
No.
Can I?
Yeah.
I told you about 100 times, man, the studio. Why don't you walk your dog over there and just
right,
go to sleep?
The studio.
I don't know how many times I've slept there.
Damn it.
God. You got keys. It's like an apartment. So anyway, we go see the movie, and it was pretty good. It was all over the place, though. But the one main chick that dies in the second one, she comes back as the Phoenix, she can't control her power.
Is that Halle Berry?
No. The one who plays Jane. I forget what her name is.
I've never seen any of them.
Halle Berry has a huge role in this one.
I just thought you were going to say rack. Huge rack
no, I have
in
that
this one.
Covered up. But she plays a bigger role. There's some pretty good fight scenes with her. She gets her face smashed through a glass table. It's pretty good.
Well, when she was in that James Bond movie,
yeah,
there was some physical scenes and some fight scenes,
yeah,
and she was awful, yeah. Horrible, like no, yeah. No natural physical ability whatsoever. In a Halle Berry, was she better here?
Oh yeah,
and that's because they can probably put somebody in a Halle Berry wig,
right?
And
it's white her wig,
right? And then have somebody else do it,
yeah. And they introduced some new. New X-Men, like the Juggernaut.
Juggernaut.
Yeah, he's the guy who can run so fast. When he's running, nobody can stop him. He can go through trees and brick walls and steel buildings. He's unstoppable.
Wow.
And the whole thing is what they're doing is... They split up again, and there's the bad guys, Magneto, who wants the... I don't understand what his deal is, but he...
What's his motivation?
His motivation is the X-Men, or not the X-Men, but the mutants should survive and basically take over the world. And Xavier is saying that, no, we need to coexist. Just because we're mutants doesn't mean we need to abuse our power. We should use it for good, not evil. So, you know, they split that whole thing off again, and there's that big fight. And now they're fighting over the power of Jane, who's now the Phoenix, And she and Xavier had blocked, put some blockers in her brain so that she wouldn't lose control of her power. And that gets unleashed, and she turns into the Phoenix, and she's more powerful than any freaking mutant on the planet. Well, wow. What happens is the president...
Did you get to see her naked?
No. The president... The president notices that his son, there's an opening scene where this kid is like taking a saw to his shoulder blades or something, and there's blood and feathers on the floor, and he's like growing wings. And
he's trying to cut him off?
Yeah. And the president, it wasn't the president at the time, now it is. I think it was the president. He works with this laboratory in Alcatraz to develop a cure. And what they did is they found this mutant boy that has this ability to turn mutants back into humans to remove all their power. So they turn it into like a vaccine. They tell everybody if they want to come down, they can be cured. Well, Magneto doesn't like that. So he wants to get rid of this kid. And the...
Well, who would like that?
What?
I wouldn't want to get rid of my power, would you? Makes everybody different.
Does
everybody want to be the same? I don't want to be the same.
Rogue is one of the characters that has this power that whenever she touches somebody, she absorbs all their power, but it kills them. And she's got this boyfriend, the Iceman, mm-hmm. and when she makes out with the guy, she starts sucking all of his will to live. And
and he still has her for a girlfriend?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what happens to you and me, John, but it's called marriage, and
right.
It takes 50 years. It doesn't take, like, a day.
So he sees that he's hitting it off with this chick who has the ability to walk through walls and stuff. So she gets upset by that, so she goes down to the lab to get cured so that she could be with the dude. And that's one of the reasons why you might want to do that, because it's keeping you from doing other stuff.
Stupid. Didn't anybody ever see Superman 2, was it? Superman 2? Where Superman gave up his powers to be with Lois Lane? How stupid is that?
Stupid ass.
You almost got the world in trouble because
of it. Jesus Christ.
Come on. You got power, keep it. You don't give it up for nothing.
But anyway, Xavier's like, look, do what you want. If you guys want to go ahead and do that, that's great. If you don't want to, don't do it. You know,
it's your choice.
But these powers were given to you for a reason. Use them for good. You can help mankind and all this stuff. So everybody just, you know, Storm, who's played by Halle Berry, says, yeah, fuck that. We're going to keep our powers. And so anyways, they're trying to defend this kid and all that. And the one character, it's pretty funny, Kelsey Grammer plays the Beast. It's big fucking blue hairy dude.
Like from Shrek?
Yeah. He's all blue and hairy and muscular, and he's got like fangs and stuff. And him and Wolverine don't hit it off too good in the beginning. They cut each other down about being animals. And but then at the end, Kelsey Grammer, he's playing Dr. Hank. I forget his last name, but he plays this. He's a diplomat for Mutant World Affairs, Diplomatic Affairs. And finally he sides with the X-Men. And they all come out with their little X-Men costumes on, and they throw down with Magneto and all his guys, and the fight is pretty intense. My son even jumped out of his chair going, "Oh yeah!" when the Beast took out a couple of people.
Whoa!
But it was kind of like all over the place. It wasn't really narrowed down, but you got the idea what they're trying to accomplish. But
sure.
It's the last stand, so... there's another great scene where the army, instead of getting... They turn in all their metal weapons and their dog tags and everything, because Magneto can control metal. So they all get plastic machine guns that shoot darts that have the cure in them. So any mutant shows up, they just pop them with one of them. They just fall to the ground and turn back into a human.
Hmm.
Except Magneto had the ability to, like, raise up pieces of metal to use them as, you know, shields and shit.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought it was pretty good. But it was fucking late by the time we got out of there. In between, you know, Joe sleeping and whistling his nose and my kid having to go to the bathroom. And in Theater One, you got to go in, like, the basement to go to the bathroom.
Hmm.
And the floor is, like, all marble and stuff. And it's pretty old, nostalgic theater. It's pretty cool.
That's why I moved there, Jerry.
1,500. I know. Ours is the same thing in Des Plaines. Old, nostalgic theater. Some Indian people buy it. Well, before they bought it, some asshole cut it in half, put a wall down the middle, and made it two theaters. Did you go there after they made it two theaters?
Yes. I saw Flashdance.
Did you notice that the seats still kept the angle?
Yes.
So, like, it's a half circle.
Mm-hmm.
They put the wall down the middle, and you're sitting sideways to the fucking
looking at the
screen.
Wall.
Yeah. So, yeah, and then the Indian people bought it, and now they're showing nothing but Indian movies there. And the Historical Society or something is trying to rescue the building because they were going to sell it to a bank. And they were going to tear it down and put a bank up there.
Hmm.
So I told the wife, hey, maybe we should throw some of our money at it and see if we could buy it. And pull that wall down and make it back a big giant. Because remember how big it was when we were kids?
Oh, yeah.
It was a monstrosity. Yeah. I remember seeing Poseidon Adventure by myself there.
Hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. Are you awake now?
Yeah. Right then. So X-Men 3, you give it how many spinies?
2.5.
2.5? That's it?
Yeah. Out of 4, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, John, the Sir Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
Sir Ian McKellen, he was in that movie.
McKellen, yeah. He's Magneto.
He says, homosexuality made me feel like a mutant. Did you know that, John?
He's coming out of the closet.
He took his inspiration from his role in X-Men The Last Stand from society's treatment of homosexuals because he was made to feel like an inferior outsider. The Lord of the Rings star has been openly gay since the 1980s, and he takes exception to the common assumption that homosexuals can be cured. And how ridiculous is that? They can be cured. That's stupid.
Well, actually, man, in the 70s, even up until recently, psychiatrists have finally taken it off of the books. It used to be a supposed curable illness.
It will be curable once they figure out what gene it is. They can cure it. It's genetic, baby.
That's what I think, too. But
it's not a choice. You're not going to cure it.
I'm just telling you, psychologists thought it was mental.
Well, anyway, because of this repression he had as a homosexual, he channeled his fury into the role of Magneto. Speaking at the Cannes Film Festival Monday, McKellen vented, as a gay man, some people think that it ought to be cured and made normal again, and I find it as offensive as someone saying that they have a cure for the color of their skin.
I didn't know he was Mr. Howell.
This is particular story is close to my heart. It is an important message to young people who may, for one reason or another, be as disaffected with society because society points their differences and says that they're inferior to the rest of us. In Brett Ratner's third installment of the comic book adaption, McKellen's character leads the
adaption.
Evil mutants' struggle against government plans to introduce a cure for their conditions, a la a cure for homosexuality.
Adaptation, you mean?
Also in celebrity news, Madonna crucifixion upsets the church, John. Madonna has enraged Christian leaders after appearing crucified on stage of her new tour. On the first night of her Confessions tour in Los Angeles on Sunday, the Material Girl mounted a 20-foot-high mirror crucifix and sang her song, Live to Tell. The Church of England is furious with the stunt, accusing Madonna of abusing religious imagery. A church spokesman says, as Madonna prepared to take on everything else that goes with wearing the crown of thorns.
That's right.
And why would someone with such talent seem to feel the need to promote herself by offending so many people?
I don't know.
Madonna upset the Catholic Church in 1989 when burning a cross and a black Jesus appeared in the video.
Right.
For her hit singing
remember
like
that?
A prayer.
Remember
I remember that?
That.
And I remember on Saturday Night Live when Sinead O'Connor ripped the picture of the Pope. Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that?
I remember.
How we doing on time there?
We got to go.
All right.
35.
Sounds good.
We good?
We're good.
All right. We'll be back.
That was part two. Now stay tuned for...
Part three.
Just one last click away.
At Total Talk Nonsense with Sean and Scott.